Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Hi, everybody. Today's show is being guided to your own truth. To be honest, do you ever feel or find yourself wishing that you could talk to somebody from your past? Or that maybe you reach out to them and say, gee, I wish that they could give me the answer, some advice from a loved one. The truth is, you can. Today, my guest, Tammy Urbanek, she can help you with this. She's a radio host, author, clairvoyant medium, self-teacher. So what a perfect position to be teaching others how to empower themselves. So I welcome my guest, Tammy Urbanek. Hey, Tammy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, I have to ask you first and foremost, you know there's going to be a lot of skeptics out there. What do you tell the people when they just won't even to get their attention so that they even listen to you?
Well, first of all, if somebody doesn't want to listen to my experiences or what I've learned or want to share, that's okay with me. I don't push it on anyone. I don't tell anyone what they need to believe, what they need to think, or how they need to perceive. So, truthfully, I've very rarely come into contact with skeptics. You know, I might have a person every now and then come to a session who might have skepticism, or a person will bring their spouse or their partner, and that partner has some skepticism, and that's okay. I usually find that skepticism begins dissipating over the course of the session, but in general, outside of sessions, I can't say I've come into too much personal contact with that.
Well, it seems like this healthy skepticism, right, where you kind of question, and then there's like the unhealthy where it's just completely blocked. I mean, I'm sure that's the ones you're talking about, the people that are completely blocked. You probably wouldn't even run into them that much. Is that correct?
Yes, a person who is really firm in their beliefs in terms of black and white, this is this way, that is that way, and there's not a lot of flexibility there to really perceive the world in a different way. I haven't really come into that so much personally. I know it's out there. I see it out there. But in terms of one-on-one interaction, not too much, not really. You know, I'm a member of the chamber here locally in the area that I live in. I attend different networking groups talking about my work. In those types of settings, sure, there's going to be people who look at me odd, who don't really want to continue the conversation. And that's okay. I recognize that. And then I just move on. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, how did you first come to realize you had this special gift?
When I was a child, my father had a near-death experience, and after that, he began working as a medium. His work is very different from mine. This was over 30 years ago. So I grew up with growing up in a very spiritually aware family, and through my father's work, it was revealed to me and to my family that I had a very similar ability. This type of ability does run genetically through the family, and that I would do this type of work as I became an adult. I was told, around the age of 18, I was told that my ability would begin developing, the ability meaning to see and hear the non-physical, to communicate, would begin developing between my late 20s and my early 30s. But during the majority, actually all of my 20s, I had a great fear of it. I was very fearful of ghosts. I was very fearful of the non-physical, even though I was around it essentially my whole life. So I needed to really confront and overcome that fear in order to develop the ability to communicate with them effectively. And that really began to take hold in my early 30s, as was predicted.
Wow. I mean, did you go to your parents and tell them, like, did you have experiences as a young child?
I did have some experiences. The first one that I recall was actually seeing my own guides in my bedroom, and I can't exactly remember how old I was, maybe around the age of 8 or 9, and it scared me. It frightened me beyond everything, and as my parents share with me, I ran out of my room screaming and just terrified, and I told my guides, I didn't know they were my guides at the time, but I told them, go away, I don't want to see you. And, you know, my guides were very are very compassionate, and they, at that time, respected my request to not see them. So they were always around. They just didn't present themselves in the same way for quite a long time. So my parents teased me about that incident, and they say that when I was 13, they would talk to me about my ability. And I would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like you, and I'm not doing that type of work. And I would be very defiant around it. So, you know, we joke about it, but I would often, and I still do, I will talk to my parents quite a bit about, oh, I had this really weird experience, and oh, I saw this, I saw that. So it's great to, and I'm very grateful to be in a family who's very supportive of that.
Absolutely, because I see these shows where the children, they feel isolated, their parents don't know how to help them. They take them to the medical community. Sometimes they get put on, you know, psychotropic drugs. And, I mean, how fortunate that you did have parents to be able to help guide you. What would you, for another child that doesn't have parents in that capacity, gifted, what would you tell their parents to, how would they go about eating their fears?
That does come up every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while in a session where a parent will begin describing some experiences that their child is having. And it's always recommended to just communicate with your child. Allow your child to express what he or she is seeing without saying it's right or wrong, without feeding. You know, you don't want to feed the child information. And, you know, of course, most people know, or all people know, that children, many children, have a lively imagination, which is very healthy. So it is coming to learn to discern the difference between, well, this is kind of their imagination, which is great, you want to foster that, versus, no, this was not their imagination. They truly did sense this or feel this or see this. And so that does take some work. But I always recommend don't shut it down, and don't just automatically say it's right or wrong. It's to encourage that open communication, and that is what your child needs to develop that trust, develop that sense of safety to be able to really say anything, especially if they grow into an adolescence where many tender and awkward things begin to happen.
You talk about these non-physical entities. I mean, have you come across, like, is there really good and is bad?
In terms of non-physical entities, there are certainly individuals who carry a very malicious personality. They want to cause trouble. They get their jollies from messing with people's heads. This happens a lot, very, very often, actually. And then there are many non-physicals who truly want to assist, want to guide, want to offer their love. If it's a loved one who passed on, it could be they simply want to continue assisting you through your physical life. So there's a lot of both. As I've always been taught, and what I have experienced myself, is that we live on the most haunted planet.
Well, you know, in your memoir, you talk about finding your gifts and had several experiences in grocery stores where the non-physical entities wanted you to deliver a special message to total strangers that you didn't know. Can you share this, like your experiences? I mean, that had to, I mean, how do you go up to a stranger, just tap them on the back and say, oh, by the way, I have a message from your loved one from beyond? I mean, that's pretty daunting.
Very. It was very scary, and I still don't particularly like it at all, because, you know, I obviously don't know the person, so I don't know how the person's going to respond. And I think the strongest one I had, and this was a few years ago, maybe actually longer than that, it started in the winter, and I woke up in my bedroom early morning, around 3 a.m.-ish, and I noticed that there were three entities standing next to my bedroom window. Oh. One had a shaved head, like her hair was growing back in, and two had really long hair. But it was only the woman with the really short hair that had any substance to her. She didn't say anything, but I could feel her sense of sadness, her sense of sorrow. And I kind of forgot about her because, you know, nothing really came of it. Until 6 weeks later, I was in a grocery store, and I saw this man in the produce, and immediately she came to my mind, and I thought, no. I'm just making connections. There's nothing there. She had hair growing back in. His head is shaved. I'm just making these two connections that don't mean anything. And then over the course of the next few minutes, it became very apparent that it was his mother. She had died of cancer. And she wanted to connect with him and say goodbye. He was very resistant. Mm-hmm. I was very resistant. I kept setting up parameters. I kept saying, I'm only going to talk to him if he's next to the chicken aisle and he's alone. And then, you know, I walk over there and he's there alone. So I had to push myself. And it worked out okay. It worked out fine.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he must have been totally, you know, in a state of shock. Does it take long to convince somebody when you tap them and you say, oh, by the way, in fact, how do these images come to you? Say, he's like a video, or you hear, you see. How is your gift expressed?
I will sense, first I'll sense the non-physical, I'll sense their presence, just like if a physical person was standing next to you, you can feel their warmth, you can feel their energy to a degree, you can feel that someone's there, and it's very similar to that. Then they begin talking, if they choose to. Now, they don't always talk to me, but they'll begin talking, and I just hear the words that they're saying. It goes through my mind, and sometimes they'll show me images. They'll show me pictures of many different things. They might show me a picture of what they used to look like. They might show me a picture of what they look like now, or they're trying to convey something, and they do it through pictures. We process through pictures for the most part anyway, so it's really easy for them to do that, for many of them to do that. How easy is it to convince someone? It's different from person to person.
Tammy, on that thought, we have to go to, when we come back, let's address that. We've got to go to a quick break, and we'll be back with Tammy Urbanek. We'll be right back. Thank you.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness Presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, I'm back with Tammy Urbanet, who is a trained medium clairvoyant. Her parents, it's not just herself, it's been through her family. And she's also author, radio host, and I welcome you back, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. We were discussing right before break about how do you get people when you come up to complete strangers and deliver a gift from beyond.
I finally needed to come to a point where I was not invested in the outcome of whether they accepted the information or not. I finally understood that it was simply my job in that moment to deliver the information, and then they needed to do what they wanted with it, whether it was totally rejected or work with it or try to understand it. And that's the place where I'm at in guide sessions as well. I'm never invested as to whether the person wants to utilize the information or believe their guides or believe in their guides. It's simply, here's the information, then you need to determine, because it's your life. And so you determine where you're going to go with it. And sometimes people don't come back for more information, and that is perfectly okay. And then some people come back for more to keep working and going deeper with the information.
Now, you mentioned a guide. What could you explain to the audience, like, what are you speaking of when you say your guide?
A guide, the full term would be called spirit guide, and from what I've seen on bookshelves, there are definitely books that are written about it. I haven't read any of them. I think my husband may have at one point, but a spirit guide is simply an individual in spirit form who you've chosen that guide prior to birth as a soul, and knowing the journey that you're about to embark upon, the family you're being born into, the genetics you're taking on, the culture, time frame, language, everything about it, you have selected as a soul, your body type, your eye color, it's all, unless there's been some sort of genetic interference, you've essentially selected that. So knowing that, you choose your guides to assist you on your journey, to help you understand what needs to be looked at, healed, continued to explore, always in the direction of exploring who are you? You know, where do you come from? Your soul wasn't born on the earth. Where do you come from? And what are you here to express? What are your abilities? What are you here to heal ultimately? We're always on this journey to heal. We're not here to just go to work, pay our bills, pick up our house, do our laundry. We're here to find passion. We're here to find out who we are. And your guides, that is their purpose. And along the way, we have hiccups. We have hiccups in our relationships. We have hiccups in our finances, in our career, and so on. And your guides help you with those as well. It's not just about finding your purpose. It's about really understanding the process of life.
Are guides the same as angels?
I have been taught that some people's guides are angels, or one of them could be an angel or comes from the angelic realm. People's guides do have a higher consciousness than the person that they're assisting. Sometimes a guide is simply a more highly evolved human in spirit form, of course, could be an angel. What I have not ever run into is guides wanting to talk about themselves. You know, they don't come into a session and, let me tell you all about me and where I come from. It's more, let's talk about you and where you come from. Now, many people have asked, who are my guides? They will answer that, of course. They will give you some background information about who they are and where they're from. But the session's not about them. It's about you. And so they redirect it. After answering your questions, they redirect it to what's important right in that moment.
Wait, I'm confused. So if I ask my guide, they will tell me, how do I reach out to make communication with them?
When you're on your own, and I always suggest to everybody to try and connect with your guides on your own as well, you can do it through a form of meditation, but that you need to be really careful as well. And there needs to be caution in terms of when you are in a meditative state, are you hearing your own beliefs, your own false beliefs from your lower mind, or are you truly hearing your guides? Your guides are not going to give you fluffy information. They're not going to just give you comforting information. They're going to give you the truth. And if the truth is kind of prickly instead of fluffy, they're mm-hmm. still going to give you the prickling information. Our belief system wants to give us fluffy. People like fluffy. And guides are not that way. So there does need to be kind of learning this discernment of, am I hearing my own beliefs or am I hearing my guides? Even on that, am I hearing a non-physical in my room that's not a guide? Or am I hearing my guide? Like I said, we live on the most haunted planet. There's non-physicals everywhere, and most people have them in their home. And so a non-physical could come in your bedroom while you're in a meditation and start pretending to be a guide. So there is a lot of learning in that process. In addition, you can communicate with your guides through your dream state. And then just directly, just talk to them out loud or in your mind. They'll respond, even if you can't hear them. They're still going to respond, and you're going to hear them unconsciously every single time. Then later, what can happen is that you have a dream or an image or something happens within your mind that's a representation of that unconscious conversation you had with your guides.
I have heard where if you see, like, repetitive numbers or repetitive things, that's a way that's like trying to communicate with you.
It can be, yes. Those are other examples where you keep being shown different signs. Hawk is another one. If you keep seeing hawks that are very obvious, you know, birds fly everywhere and they're many times looking for food. But when it's a very obvious manner, that is definitely a sign that there's a message that you need to be listening to. A lot of animals represent a certain meaning, and your guides can sometimes guide you unconsciously to be in a certain position to see that animal or have that experience or a dream about a particular animal that's significant.
Is there some kind of, for instance, I mean, you know, can you look it up? Like, say, like, what would a bird represent? Does it mean anything to you, or does it mean different things to different people? Is there is there really? Does it mean different things to different people?
Yes, to look up the meaning of different animals, you said?
Uh-huh. Is there, like, a book people can, you know, something tangible? Because, like, how would they know that they died, you know, when they give them these images? How do they know what that means?
Exactly.
Is there a way to interpret it?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are two that I usually refer people to. Medicine cards. You could just Google medicine cards, Native American medicine cards, and it'll come right up. That's a great resource. Also, a lot of people I know use the book Animal Speak, which has more animals in it than the medicine cards. And then if you don't want to actually buy a book and you just want to look up one particular animal, you can just Google it. You can Google symbolic meaning of this animal, whatever it is, or spiritual meaning of this animal. Many times that Google will lead you back to a medicine card, which you can just read online. You don't even have to purchase it. But I do recommend the book. It's a great resource to have in your home.
Wow, that's terrific. And you mentioned early in the conversation, I don't know if people caught it, but it's very captivating, the thought that we pick out. You said everything before we're born, our parents, our care quality, even everything.
We choose our parents. We choose our parents, we choose our siblings, we choose our entire experience.
And that brings me to your book, which, Loving Kana, would you love to share that, because it's so captivating and it's awe-inspiring. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know any other word. It's phenomenal. Would you mind, Tammy?
No, thank you very much for the compliment. I enjoyed writing it. Loving Connor started off, it was going to be about how to work with an angry adolescent, your own child, your own, you know, teenager, not your inner child, but your kid. And I had, my daughter had different experiences as a teenager. There was a lot of anger that she carried directed towards her biological father. And so there were a lot of measures I needed to take, a lot of work that I needed to do with her, help her through, so that she didn't find herself in a life of drugs and addiction. We definitely had some scary situations occur in her adolescence. So when it was coming to an end, I had a lot of different parents asking me, so how did you deal with this? And I thought, well, I'll write a book about it. But it evolved, as books do. And I had a great editor who helped me really understand that this is not just about working with an angry teen. This is about the end result, loving Connor. Connor is her son. She became pregnant at the age of 16, had Connor at 17, and there was this whole situation around Connor prior to his birth, a very non-physical paranormal experience that happened. So the book starts the readers off when I was 18 and I got married. He was an alcoholic, he was abusive, and I left him at the age of 19. I was broke. I was working at McDonald's for $7 an hour. There was a lot of struggle there, a lot of fear of survival, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-esteem issues. And then I got remarried and had to learn how to be married, had to learn how to have a partner in a relationship. And then my daughter became a teenager, and she had her anger issues that were very disruptive. And it takes the readers all the way through that to the point where, oh, my God, she's pregnant. She just turned 16, just barely turned 16. What do we do with this? And the boyfriend that got her pregnant was addicted to drugs, dropped out of high school, abusive, and didn't want to change anything, and unemployed. So it was crazy. And I don't know if I want to say that I wouldn't change any of it, maybe, but it's definitely an experience I learned from, and we love Connor so, so much, and my daughter and I are very close. Connor and I are very close, so it came out okay, but there was a lot of work involved, and definitely that paranormal piece, people will be really surprised at what happens in the non-physical when you're pregnant.
It's just, we have to continue this when we come back.
Right.
So we'll be back with Tammy Irvin next. We'll be right back. Thanks so much.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they move forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we're back with Tammy Urbanek, who's a brilliant assistant from range all over Europe, everywhere, plus a former school teacher, author, and radio host. So we're back with Tammy, and we discussed it right before break, this incredible story, how before her grandson was born, that she picked up feelings that he needed to be healed before his birth. So, welcome back, Tammy.
Thank you.
So, Tammy, you were saying earlier that you realize, I mean, devastatingly, that not too many people, I can say, get this opportunity to heal before birth, unless not the way you do it, maybe in utero with medicine and stuff like that. But you saw a bigger spiritual issue, right?
Yes, we knew right away. When we found out that she was pregnant, I had a sense that there were definitely going to be difficulties around this, not just because she was 16, but because of all of the circumstances around it. She was still quite angry. The father was also very angry. And what I've learned over the course of my life is like energy attracts like energy. So when you are a very angry person and you're the person you conceive a child with is very angry, you're very likely to attract a soul who's also very angry. My father helped me greatly, my mother, my father, and then the non-physical teacher that my father is the medium for is called Jonah. So my father is a different type of medium where he will have a non-physical teacher actually utilize his body and his vocal cords to offer information. He's done that for 30 years all over the world. Mm-hmm. People can find more about him at JonahLifeInstitute.com. But it was through Jonah that told me the history of Connor's past life. And it was, he lived in a very abusive household, mentally and verbally, he said, for the most part. And he took his own life with a gun at the age of 14. He also had a lot of energetic interference there as well prior to his death. After his death, he still had the energetic interference and carried.
Excuse me, I have to ask you. What is energetic interference?
In short, it's called a cord. And that is where one person will attach to you through an energetic cord. When that happens, and it happens a lot, when that happens, you begin feeling that other person's energies, anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, so on and so forth, and they suck your energy. So you start feeling low in energy, and then you start feeling worse emotionally.
Is that an empath?
Not really. It's truly an energetic cord, which can be removed in a couple of different ways, but it's like if you were to see two people standing next to each other and they physically had a cord attached from, let's say, one solar plex to the other solar plex, and they can attach, you know, chest, back, head as well. But just for that example, that would be the cord. And energy transfers back and forth between this cord. So if a person corded to you who died of suicide or wanted to manipulate you somehow or control you somehow, then they're going to do that through the energetic cord. They manipulate your thoughts, your feelings, and even to the point of your actions sometimes. Many people who take their own life are corded. Many people who are addicted to substances are corded. You can have a person who died an alcoholic, for example, and they still want their high. So they will cord to an alcoholic to get their high. Well, that person, that non-physical person, wants to keep getting their high, right? So they want to stay corded, and they're going to keep that person depressed and making the same painful choices so they can get their high. So Connor was corded before he took his own life, and he was still corded in the non-physical, which can also happen. Because of the cord and because of the abuse he received from his mother, he hated women. Hated, and he was so angry. When we found out about this, Jonah encouraged me to work with him as I would any angry teenager, and I was a former school teacher, and I knew how to do this in terms of angry teens. So I asked Connor to come through like I would in a session, and the first thing he said was, "I hate you," and it continued, and I had to keep working with him, and we made a lot of progress in 7 months, but he was still in great, great resistance at the time of his birth.
You know, if you don't mind continuing the story, it's so captivating. I mean, I don't want to give everything away, but the process itself, it had to physically also be draining on you, correct? And how did it affect the mom, you know, your daughter?
The fear was draining. Working with Connor was not draining. Working with Bethany was not draining, but the fear and the worry that I carried was ultimately the most draining. And if I had to go back and do it again, I would remove the fear and the worry and just do what I needed to do. There were also some physical incidences. There were some broken things, not in just in my home, but also my parents' home, that can only be explained through a non-physical entity. So it wasn't just me hearing Connor, and I always included Bethany and Robert, my husband, into the living room, and we would talk to Connor all together. I didn't ever really do it on my own. I wanted to make it a family process. And then when I would go back and talk to Jonah, he would say the same thing. He doesn't trust you. He doesn't believe you. He doesn't believe what you're saying. He doesn't believe that you'll love him. But I had to keep going despite that. As discouraging as it was, I had to keep going. And then after his birth, we continued working with him, and we were encouraged a lot of affection, a lot of kissing, a lot of hugging, a lot of saying, "You're beautiful, I love you." Because every word you say to an infant, they're going to record into their unconscious. Every single word you utter, they're going to record it. So we had to start building that recording from an ultimate positive and loving place.
So, Tammy, if I see the whole picture, he selected your family because he knew he was going to be healed. Is that pretty much, even though he might have had resentment, he still made the conscious decision before birth to select y'all as the family, correct?
that is correct from a soul level. We have different elements to us. We have our conscious mind, which carries our immediate memories and our pain and our fear and our worry. And then we have our higher mind, our soul, which carries our soul history, our total innate wisdom and knowledge. That part of him, yes, was definitely a huge part of selecting us, because he also has history with us from other lifetimes. We came to learn much later, not right away. And yes, I know from a soul perspective, he knew that we could help him differently than many other families could, especially ones who are not communicating with the non-physical in the same way. From a conscious mind perspective, he was, again, attracted to Bethany's anger.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did he have any memory of it or anything? Or was this complete? Did you ever, did he ever know about it? Did he ever, I don't know how to express the word, subconsciously feel anything and vocalize that to y'all?
You're asking if Connor felt anything consciously?
Yeah.
In the non-physical, yes, he was very consciously aware. Once we were, I would say, past the midway, so probably actually around 7th month of pregnancy, he was starting to come around. And he was starting to listen a little bit more. He was still resistant, still not quite trusting, but he was at least willing to converse, and that was good. That was also because his cord was removed. That cord he had was a huge influence to keep him hating us and to keep him in a state of anger. There's a lot of manipulation there. And I could tell, I didn't know it was removed, but I could tell the difference immediately. It's like, okay, last week we spoke to him and he's spewing all this hate, and then this week we're talking to him and he's like, okay, well, maybe I'll listen. It was such a night and day difference, but not completely, here, I trust you and I love you. And he didn't really ever get to that, actually, in the non-physical. Will he remember it, though? I didn't think he would. But the day he was born, my family was there, and I was telling my dad, it's so surreal. I spent all these months working with Connor in the non-physical, and now he's here. He's in the physical body. It's so surreal. And he said, why? And I said, because I remember everything and he won't remember anything. And he said, that's not true. He'll retain it all. Now, what he remembers consciously later, I'm not sure exactly. But I do know he has abilities. And I think it's, I don't know if he has a medium genetic. My daughter does. She's not developed in it, but she has the gene. But I do know he has abilities and he'll be working with energy to some degree, especially as a teenager.
Going back to courting, how do you explain to somebody, or how do you see an individual get rid of that, I don't want to say demon or whatever, but is there a way that they can, what is the process to get uncourted, I guess?
The way I explain it to people when I know for sure they have a cord is, I usually use the word energetic interference, and then I'll give a brief description of what that might feel like to them. And I would say almost 100% of the time, they nod, like they totally understand. They understand the description I'm offering. If a person, they've heard the word cord before, they're vaguely familiar with it, I'll just use the word cord. You have a cord, or you have two cords, or you have three cords, and this is what it's doing to you physically, mentally, emotionally. There are two main ways to be rid of it, and there are...
Sorry, we getting ready to go commercial break. Be right back. Just right when you were getting ready to say, I'm so sorry, but we'd be right back with her, Tammy Urbanette. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves. and we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Master your reality and manifest your desires effortlessly. Listen to The Trivedi Effect to find out how raising your level of consciousness can totally transform every aspect of your life. Hosted by Mahendra Kumar Trivedi with Trivedi Master Alice Branton, our program will spotlight the nearly 4,000 documented scientific studies that have proven the transformational impact of this energy extends beyond humans to all living and even non-living matter. Tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel or Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, we're back with Tammy Urbanek, who's clairvoyant medium, teacher, healer, empowerment, author, radio host, everything. And she's getting ready. She was just right before break, getting ready to talk about courting a little bit more in detail, like how the person know if they courted and how to get rid of it. So we're back, Tammy. Hey.
Thank you. Yeah, there's two main ways to get rid of it, and I know that there might be other practitioners out there who might disagree, and that's okay. But from what I have learned, there are two main ways. One way, you can get rid of it yourself. You can only be courted if you've allowed it on some subconscious level. A cord can only attach to your energy field and to your body. It attaches to your physical body and many times to an organ or near an organ. And it can only do that if there's already been an injury, some sort of emotional or mental and or spiritual injury. And usually some sort of permission's been given, whether it's through judgment, fear, denial. Those are all very subtle subconscious levels of permission. And that's how the cord comes through and attaches. If that's occurred, the person can remove a cord him or herself through intensive therapy, intensive researching of how the cord was allowed, what led up to it, if the person can distinguish when the cord attached. It usually attaches very quickly. And through that work and then removing that permission or rescinding that permission can help remove that cord. That can take months, years. The other way is through life energy flow Tai Chi, which is an ancient hands-on form of healing that predates acupuncture and is very similar to acupuncture and very similar to acupressure. Tai Chi does not use needles. It uses pressure points and universal energy. Through a cord removal, there's a very specific process to remove the cord from the energy field and from the physical body. But first, the practitioner needs to determine exactly where the cord is located, and a cord will have tentacles, so we will have these almost like legs that reach out to different parts of the body, and it needs to be removed in a very specific manner. That takes about an hour. Either way, a person can always get recorded. It's always the objective to never get a cord again, but it does happen if permission has been given again to be corded again. So there's no victims of a cording because permission has been given on some level. But those are the two main ways that it can be removed.
How would you go about finding somebody to do this? Do you specialize in doing this?
There is a website called lifeenergyflowtaiyi.com. Mm-hmm. Taiyi is spelled T-A-Y-Y-I, taiyi.com. And that will take you to the school's website, the practitioner school. We attend classes multiple days throughout the year. We are required to attend our classes. We are tested 3 to 4 times a year to ensure that we are competent, that we are efficient, and that we're doing the treatments right. The cord removal is just one treatment that's offered through Taiyi. There's over 4,000 treatments that we continue to learn over the course of years of studying. So that website also has a list of practitioners that are certified in Taiyi. They've been certified that they can perform Taiyi successfully. They've been certified to perform Taiyi successfully. So there's practitioners in Colorado, some in California, New York, Arizona, even in Europe, where there's students from Europe who fly in to learn Taiyi. So that list would be the first place to go.
Now, when you talk about the organs, are you talking about different levels also of chakras?
They attach not so much to a chakra, but more to a part of the body that it wants. So going back to the example of an alcoholic who wants to attach to another alcoholic or substance abuser, they might attach to the liver and get their high that way. So a person who wants to control someone's feeling of inadequacy or feeling of closed off to love, they might attach to the heart chakra. A person who wants to control someone's expression, maybe it's a dead abusive father who wants to continue the abuse on his daughter and suppress her expression, even in the non-physical, he might attach to her throat chakra. So it's not necessarily a chakra, but it can be.
It's just amazing. I have so many questions. Can you get like an energy healer? Oh, like a clairvoyant, like you're a medium. Are you a clairvoyant or a medium? And what's the difference? I don't want to, you know, then.
The clairvoyant, I receive images of mm-hmm. situations, images in terms of energy. And then being a medium, I just simply directly communicate with those in the non-physical just as if they were physical.
Well, that's what I was wondering. You know, being able to communicate like you have this too, could you not just talk to the other non-entity that's attached, that's trying to absorb them and take what they have in the living world to please them in the dead world, in the other world?
Can I talk to a person who's courting the physical person? Sure.
Yeah.
It won't do any good.
Oh, really? Okay. I was just wondering, I mean, that's the only way that you were just talking about.
No, in fact, sometimes they've gotten so mad at me just for removing the cord.
What happened?
They just project a lot of anger, a lot of resentment because I've removed the cord. They're not allowed in my office. I'm very particular about who is allowed in my office during any session, whether it's a Taiyi session or a guide session. So even though I'm removing the cord in my office, the actual person who's doing the cording cannot come in my office and set up those parameters, but they'll project in. They'll try to project in anger, resentment. They'll try to project in doubt even. So, yeah, that's talking to them is usually useless.
And when you have a session, do you pick up all the other people there, the other side, non-physical entities? Does it do anything to you emotionally and physically? Do you get drained or after like a session? How do you, you know, you're absorbing all this, like, say, negativity. How does that affect you after the session with somebody?
Only if it's really traumatic. I'll feel emotionally empathetic for the person, but I don't absorb the person's energy and I don't absorb any entity's energies during a session. So it only becomes draining if I have, you know, 6 or 7 sessions in a day. My throat starts to hurt. Just your basic, you know, I'm feeling physically tired. But energetically, it's not draining as long as I'm protecting my own energy, and I'm very aware of my surroundings. On the other hand, I'm writing a new book called Silent Whispers, and I'm having different deceased children, some who died in the Holocaust, some who died after, who were tortured, and secret human experiments that are still going on these children under the guise of medical science. They are coming to me with their stories, and it is haunting. It is very hard to hear how a 4-year-old was tortured, how a 6-year-old was tortured, a 12-year-old, a 19-year-old, both genders, boys here, girls there. That is the most difficult, I would say, right now for me.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Tammy, do you get to see people's auras, like when they walk into your office for the first time?
No, not really. I can feel their energy, not so much their aura, but I can feel, wow, this person's really depressed, or wow, whew, got a lot of anger going on, but not so much their aura, just the energy they're carrying around them. I guess you could call that their aura. I just more call it the energy that they're really engaging in.
Tammy, thank you for being my guest. And how can anybody get in touch with you and all that esoteric information? Because I could have you on talking for hours, but we're getting ready to end the show.
My website, empowermentthroughhealing.org. My contact information is on there. People can book a session online at their convenience. I do sessions on Skype, over the phone, and in person. Most sessions are for guide connections, but I do have a deceased person every once in a while come through, or a request to connect with the deceased person, and also Tai Chi sessions, but those are always in-person, hands-on.
Oh, thank you so much. You've been so awe-inspiring. And your book, One More Time, Loving Connor, was just absolutely great. So thank you for being the guest today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.